Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, so Nick Caserio. Trades down from 23 to 42, uses the extra second to get Stephon Diggs, and here we are. Kind of feels like we're having the same discussions heading into today that we were having when they were picking at 23. That's how it feels.
I'll take it a step further. Let me ask you this. I was thinking about this driving in. So let's say they stayed at 23.
Yeah.
You didn't need a quarterback. You weren't really that interested in a tackle. I mean, you could have, but you weren't really that interested.
That would have been wild.
In a tackle. Some people projected it, remember, several times.
Yeah, I don't think they knew.
So even right now, after the entire first round is over. Oh, okay, one more thing. And you weren't going to get Marvin Harrison Jr.
No.
Okay, so even right now.
Or Bowers.
Yeah, you weren't interested in a quarterback. Not interested
Seems
in a
like
tackle.
Seems like they might have taken Pearsall, to be honest with you.
No, here's my question that I was thinking about. How many players even now would you have wanted at 23?
Here's the thing.
Not a lot, right?
If you told me, like, I'm just going down this list. If you told me they took these guys at 23, I don't think there would be like a mad reaction. Cooper DeJean.
Yeah.
Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, Newton, Kool-Aid McKinstry, Coleman, Fisk. Like all these guys, these were names that we were talking about.
At 23.
Yeah. And now here they are at 42. It's pretty wild. It feels like it's between Newton and McKinstry, the names that you're hearing the most. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of getting greedy. If Mitchell or McConkey is there, sign me up for it. Mm-hmm. Sign me up for either one of those guys. If either one of those guys are there, let's get it, and then I think one of these defensive guys will fall down to you.
So you're even more in on wide receiver.
I'm more in on wide receiver just because those two are available. Coleman, yeah. maybe later, but I'm not sure. And then maybe we can get into like the McCaffrey Whittington talk.
Yeah.
On day three, but if McConkey or Mitchell are there, depending on how CJ feels, and God, it feels like he's got takes about these receivers. Mm-hmm. Sign me up for that.
Yeah, I am starting to wonder, but I'm still pretty – when I'm trying to think like Nick Caserio, which nobody really can.
It's dangerous.
Yeah. But if I'm trying to think like Nick Caserio, I'm still leaning linebacker is it. Like position of need, they're all available. Because the three linebackers that were taken were really kind of hand in dirt guys. You know, Latu and the kid from Alabama.
Dallas Turner.
Turner and all the – like in terms of stand-up linebackers that can – replace Toto or Jake Hansen, they're all available.
There's no linebacker.
They're all there.
No linebacker, no safety, no running back has been selected.
Yeah, that's so, the Texans would need.
Yeah, so if you're even looking at the top two and you consider those big needs, and that's where the proactive.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot of times when you look at the draft, it's like filling in holes of what the weakest part of your roster is, or the most unfamiliar spot at the top. But, I like, proactively make Brevin Jordan not your top tight end. Give yourself an option to where if Dalton Schultz is a free agent next year, maybe you have someone that you feel good about to where you can say bye-bye to him.
Yeah.
Just proactive stuff like that. Get another running back that can be the long-term piece and contribute early on. Wide receiver, you're going to have four guys with their contracts expiring.
Yeah.
So I do think there's some proactive stuff. The Kool-Aid McKinstry thing's interesting, too, because I heard Saban yesterday. By the way, can I just confess something real quick about Nick Saban? Seriously. Yeah. He's a friend of the show. He's a legend. He's an icon. And I have nothing but respect for him. I think he's probably on the Mount Rushmore of most likable media personalities of my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
You with Nick Saban up there at the center of the stage on that College game day set, it just demands such respect. I don't think you have to force Lee Corso on that stage anymore. Just if he wants to do the fun stuff and maybe come out and do the headgear, it's endearing with Herb Street.
Yeah.
But now that Saban's there, you don't need to do that. Just let Corso hang around, but don't do that. I heard Cody Stoops yesterday say, "Well, you could just wheel Corso out there for the mascot thing." I was like, "Man, he's not in a wheelchair. You can walk."
Well, figuratively speak, are we sure? Anyway. I still think linebacker. They're out there.
Yeah.
The one you want is there, whether it's the Junior Colson or Edgren James. Edgren James.
Edgren Cooper. Nice. Yeah, Edgren James is there. Edgren
Cooper.
Trade all your picks. Get up there. Get him.
But I am hesitating a little bit because of what you said. You know, White Rice is still there. And then the DB, Cooper DeJean, is still there.
They call him White Rice.
Vlad McConkey.
Come on.
White Rice.
It's McConkey.
It's White Rice.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the best nickname. Oh, my I'm right. good on this nickname stuff.
Keep going.
Adonai Mitchell's the other one. So I'm starting to hesitate.
Adonai, I think, could end up. Yesterday, Herb Street picked Adonai Mitchell as his offensive rookie of the year.
Oh, wow.
He picked Adonai Mitchell as his offensive rookie of the year. Mm-hmm. Adonai has said that he wants to play with CJ. I got a feeling that CJ likes Adonai Mitchell. Mm-hmm. But I was bringing up that Saban thing, not to talk about the Corso thing. I was bringing up that Saban thing because he was talking about Kool-Aid McKinstry, and he said that he thinks he's a good corner. He's got good instincts. He's very polished, but he thinks he can play inside too,
mm-hmm.
which is interesting because the Texans kind of want versatility. But he talked about Kool-Aid being able to play corner and safety and on the inside and all that type of stuff, and that's something that they might need. So the versatility, I thought that was interesting where Saban said that he could easily see Kool-Aid playing all over the place, which I think you can say the same about Cooper DeJean,
probably,
too.
Probably, yeah.
So if you're talking about, like, positional versatility and what the Texans need, some corner depth, some safety, all that.
Well, you absolutely can say DeJean, because they moved him around early in his career.
So I think the DeJean Kool-Aid thing is interesting, especially when I hear Saban say that, because Saban knows.
Yeah.
He knows him pretty well.
Did you hear him admit to tampering, by the way?
Who?
Nick Saban, you didn't hear that?
I didn't. What'd he say?
He was talking about the kid from Toledo. He said, yeah, we were trying to get him into the portal. I was like, wait, that's not legal. he's the one that's high. You know, he was the one that was all on his high horse when it came to NIL and all this other stuff and portal and the kids aren't the same anymore. He said, yeah, we're trying to get that. Is it Quinion? What was his name?
Nelson,
the cornerback from Toledo. Yeah, we're trying to get him into the portal. Dude, you probably shouldn't say that. Probably should.
Mitchell, my bad.
Quinion Mitchell. Yeah,
Quinion Mitchell. Yeah,
he's a good story too.
Didn't get him.
Yeah, didn't get him.
Yes, Adonai Mitchell is from he's from Mo City. Now here's the thing though, you got to think Buffalo needs a receiver at some point, right?
They don't.
Well, I mean, they're drafting first today, right? Because they traded back one with Carolina. Like, they got to be getting Mitchell or McConkey, right? That's got to be how this thing starts, right?
I would want to agree with you. But look what they did. Like, they
got to be.
They're bozos.
But if they end up with Adonai Mitchell, I think they're in good shape.
Okay. And they got the extra pick. I mean, sure. But I'd be losing my mind right now. If after everything that they're cutting, now obviously Diggs, you gave the Chiefs, you know, another receiver that you could have had. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I'm just kind of wondering. I think Buffalo takes Mitchell. I think they make it all right. I think they make sense of what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. They take Adonai Mitchell, call it a day.
That would be probably the favorite, right?
I would think so.
Yeah,
I'm not 100% sure. Kool-Aid McKinstry seems like the popular pick. I know he's got the foot injury. On the text line, someone says, I don't want Kool-Aid. He's going to be another cripple. Like, what? Who's the first cripple that you refer to? Mm-hmm. Derek Stingley? He didn't look crippled to me last year. I know he gets hurt. So what do you mean by he's going to be another cripple?
He did okay.
What does that mean? I think and by the way, the guy ran the 40 and had the 40-inch hops mm-hmm. on that hurt foot. I like Kool-Aid McKinstry a lot. I like DeJean. A lot of people like DeJean. Mm-hmm. Boy, if they get a white corner, my gosh.
They're going to get all kinds of airtime.
Might start me a new business.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll be slinging DeJean jerseys on the corner of on the corner of certain neighborhoods, man. I might go on walks with Sean. When Sean goes walking through River Oaks so he can spy on rich people.
Why are there so many DeGene jerseys here?
I'm going to walk behind him. Get your Cooper jerseys. Get your Cooper jerseys. Oh. Sean loves those walks, man.
Yeah, well, he gets to rub elbows.
Hey, Cow in Hand, I noticed y'all ordered pizza the other day. What kind did y'all get? Hey, Jim Crane, I saw that you have the Texans turf doing your yard for you. Do you, how'd they do? Don't you live in an apartment, son?
What are you doing staring at our house?
Don't you live in a sky rise, son?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it's out walking. crossing Westheimer. A little dicey sometimes.
Cooper DeGene, they're talking about him. He kind of offended some people. Did you see what he said?
I did not see this.
He offended some people, man. There were some wokesters not too happy with him, man.
How's that?
You didn't see this?
I did not. I didn't see this on Cooper DeGene. Did not.
He went to Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big star there, man. Her name's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, that's her school.
Yeah. Good ball player, I would say.
She's pretty good.
All-time leading scorer in college basketball history. This was a question he said he got a lot during the process, and just say he answered it, and he upset some of these wokies.
Okay.
It's really weird, but a lot of teams have asked me if I could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one. Just being from Iowa. I said I think I can. She'd probably score a few buckets on me, but I think I could pull it off.
Wow.
Oh, wow. He said he could. His basketball highlights are pretty sick. But he says he could beat Caitlin Clark one-on-one.
I don't know if he could, but you better say you could. If teams are asking you, you better say you could. Yeah, hell yeah. I'd kick her ass.
And she wouldn't be able to get by him.
She'll get some points, though.
Yeah, but he's athletic freak.
She'll do the dribble.
But he's an athletic freak.
No, I know. Like he might beat her.
He can dunk. She ain't guarding him.
Well, just
if he can dribble.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I don't know.
She had to shoot threes.
She has good hands. She had to shoot a lot of threes, which she
does. Yeah, but when you have got 40-inch hops, man, you just get out there.
I know,
there
but I'm saying
it.
Do the dribble, pull back, 30-footer. Now we got to see it.
I mean, that's what he's saying.
Now we got to see it.
Nah, they might not. WNBA might not want that to happen.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, he said that.
Although he's a professional athlete, so no shame in that.
He said it, man.
Mm-hmm.
Said it with his chest. So there's a big conflict battle dialogue about, do you draft guys to immediately help you, or do you draft guys with long-term ideas ahead? Jatavion Sanders is the guy that I point to there, because I think there's a chance that a couple years from now he's as good of a receiving tight end as Dalton Schultz. I think he develops into perhaps being a better blocker, and I also think he could help them now, but what he currently is might not validate taking him with one of your first two picks.
I don't think he's in play.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
That eight reps,
yeah,
is going to be a non-starter for the Texans because they need a block. A guy that can block a little.
That's
bit.
That's fine. Yeah. I mean, well, they don't have one.
No, I know, and so yeah. he's not better than
Brevin Jordan.
I don't doubt that. I'm saying they're going to lick somebody. Yeah. That can block a little bit.
That's fine. They'll regret it though.
They might.
They'll regret it.
But that's all they have to go by right now.
Yeah. Here is Nick Caserio. This was a question from Stutes talking about how you look at a long and a short-term draft pick / prospect.
When you put together a draft evaluation of a prospect, how much goes into how can the guy help day one versus how can the guy help maybe in November, December versus how can he help in the years to come with that player?
It's a good question. It's kind of a moving target. Sometimes it's circumstantial. Sometimes it's contingent upon maybe some other players that are in the building already. But everybody kind of gets the same opportunity, and you don't want to pigeonhole a player and say, well, he's not going to be ready until November. Maybe he expedites that because his performance, and he shows the confidence, and he gets the confidence and faith of his teammates and the coaches around him. So when people walk in the building, everybody kind of has the same opportunity. I would say just generally speaking, Cody, a lot of these players are behind just relative to their development, where they are physically. I would say for whatever reason this year, it seems like more players are further behind. And, again, some of them have been advised to basically after the combine or their workouts basically don't do anything physically in lieu of they don't want them to get hurt or anything like that. Well, okay, you lose, call it 4 to 6 months of training, which means when you come in a building in May, you're behind physically. So maybe we think the player is going to be ready physically, but part of our assessment is to see where they are physically, do some testing, get some baseline testing. And we're not going to put the player in a position and kind of force feed it. The player's ready when he's ready.
What's up, Daisy?
I would say just going back to last year's group, I mean, other than, I'd say a player like Brandon Hill might be in a situation like you kind of alluded to where, other than Brandon, everybody else made a contribution to the team last year. Brandon really didn't because he kind of got off to a slow start, was injured in rookie camp and in OTAs, and he really didn't have a training camp. But I'd say the work that Brandon has put into this point, he's put himself in a position where he's going to have an opportunity. So excited about, you know, his chances and what he can provide. So it's case by case. And again, it's all about how do they perform, how much progress do they make, and how much information can they absorb in a short period of time. And we're not going to, again, put a timetable on anything, kind of pigeonhole anybody. When they're ready, they're ready. Sometimes it takes a year. Sometimes it takes 2 years. But after kind of that first iteration, draft, off-season program, training camp, in-season, off-season, you should have a decent idea of the player's ability and opportunity in front of them, understanding there could be some things that derail that. So you're kind of weighing everything. There are actually probably some players in this year's draft who physically might not be ready to contribute maybe early on in the season. So maybe you're drafting them for next year. Okay, then that's a decision you have to make and say, are we comfortable with that? Do we want to try to gain the player's services, understanding maybe he's not ready? So there's – I mean, those are all the discussions that we're going to have. I think it's a pretty astute observation. But, again, every case is going to be different, and you kind of have to treat each individual player kind of differently and not really force-feed anything.
All right. I mean, that could be Kool-Aid. That could be Dejean. Both of those guys, injuries. So it is interesting. And I don't think you need to think short-term at this moment. The two-year window that Caserio speaks on could be there. There's some guys that can – contribute. I see on the YouTube bringing up Fisk, Braden Fisk.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, for some reason I'd like to know what it is.
Yeah, let's move him back.
You're just not high on it.
Maybe with the second one.
I get it. I wasn't higher on Thomas, and still am not.
To be honest with you, I'm kind of getting to where I'm getting greedy. I want Sweat in the third at this point. Screw it, man.
Hey. I wouldn't really.
Third. Okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, we forgive you, man. We're going to be here for you.
You've done your punishment.
Hey, we're going to be here for you, man.
You've done your time. Yeah.
Make a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Casera is going to put me in charge. Make two phone calls.
And who are they?
First phone call is going to be to John McClain.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, John, notice that you've been maintaining your weight pretty well with the soda. Mm-hmm. We're bringing in a guy that he's kind of sometimes struggles with his weight. We want you to be his mentor, his weight mentor. So we're going to have John McClain be his weight mentor. That's number one.
Okay.
Number two, hey, John Lucas, what's up, man?
Oh, man.
What have you been up to?
There's something to that, probably.
Hey, what have you been up to?
Yeah.
Hey, we got a young man. I know you've dealt with worse. This is just a young man likes to party a little bit.
I need a lot.
We'd love you to be a mentor for him.
Yeah.
So we're going to get the John and John. Yeah. It's the John and John Sweat plan.
John Squared.
Yes, John Squared. John Lucas and John McClain, the John Squared Sweat plan to draft Tavondre Sweat in the third round when he falls.
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't sleep on that Lucas thing, man. He can help. He could help.
Ooh, John.
Yeah, absolutely help.
Coming up next, the internet goes nuts. The rivalry up 45. The Texans kind of smacked the Cowboys around yesterday, and most of the world saw it. We'll get into that next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I got the internet going nuts.
Internet going nuts here on In the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Texans versus Cowboys. Who says no? It's going to happen. Is it going to happen on Thanksgiving? One of the newest Texans hopes so. We heard from Stephon Diggs for the first time. We'll hear what he had to say about being a Houston Texan, as well as what CJ's original thoughts were when we play the hits. But first, let's hear a little bit of Cowboys versus Texans rivalry.
Yeah. Yeah.
Micah Parsons, CJ Stroud, both Mulligetta guys, both Brian Burney guys. They were on Bleacher Report yesterday during the draft. It went about how you'd expect. Let's start with that popular question that people like to mention. Who's the best NFL team in Texas? Here's CJ and Micah.
You say, is the best team in Texas?
Create some beef. I like that. You know what it is? I mean, I feel like Micah knows who it is.
I mean, Steph knows who it is.
But no, like, everything got to get figured out on the field. You know, like.
I ain't even see no chemistry. I ain't even get a snap. We the best team. What the hell? You feel me?
We're going to figure it out. Yeah, we're going to, like, you're going to, like, everything in life, man, like, is a time and place. You're going to see what it's about.
And you know what it is? You know what it is?
What is it?
You know, he faced some pretty good guys, but he ain't never seen a killer, though.
You sit on a couch with one.
Man, I love that.
All right, you sit on a couch with one. Okay. What about the Texans move? Micah Parsons has been pretty critical of the Cowboys moves, including their draft pick yesterday. Man, I didn't know what Guyton did to you.
Body language.
But here was Micah Parsons and CJ Stroud going back and forth on the moves that the Texans have made while the Cowboys have been quiet.
What went through your head? Because I know you're a jealous person.
Yeah, I was very jealous. I said, they souped up, bro. The first thing I called is his bro, Trash. Yo, bro, I can't believe this, dog. Like, how this happened? Like, you know, they got all these moving pieces. Even, like, the pieces before him they added with Mix and adding Danielle Hunter with Will Anderson, just adding all those, like, superstar pieces. I was like, this is the time to do it. I was like, they really locked in on CJ. Because that's the only time you ever see that when you got a – before you pay that big check, you know, you got that time where your QB is sitting on just a little bit of money.
Assemble the squad.
Yeah, so they souped up right now.
Yeah, they're souped up. That's what he says. Now, Thanksgiving, we've been talking about it.
It has to be.
I mean, come on.
At this point. I mean, just because
you're interviewing the Diggs family right there around the Thanksgiving table.
Well, just so you can replay this cut about you're sitting.
It's gonna get replayed
one.
No matter what.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, can you imagine on Thanksgiving?
It'll be a lot of build up there.
Yeah.
Here is Micah Parsons, CJ Stroud, with a little Stephon Diggs too. His brother's a Cowboy, so that just adds to things.
You ain't never see a killer in his eyes, and you know, guy throw that ball downfield like that. He you know
what?
He just be talking. Dog, you just be talking.
Hey, I can tell you right now, you know, we've had this ongoing conversation, especially since my brother been in Texas. It's been a conversation at least bi-weekly about I see you soon. So hopefully it's on Thanksgiving, you know what I'm saying, so we can figure out who eating turkey and who not.
Steph,
one of us going to be eating turkey. Hey, the other one going to be stuffing.
You ever watch Norbit? Like, Norbit, one of my favorite movies?
Sure.
I'm going to eat the leg. He's going to be eating turkey ass. I'm going to
I knew what he was doing there.
I'm going to send that turkey butt over to the locker room to let him know how I feel about him.
That's a great call by him.
Glad Micah Parsons has one fan, man.
Yeah.
Lord.
that's a great call.
Here is Diggs with Stroud with Parsons hopping in as the internet goes nuts here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610.
What's up,
bro?
A7.
What up, Trim?
I was going to say what's up to Micah, but I don't really.
Nah, for real, though.
That's crazy.
What's up, man? You know, I'm real jealous, but, you know, I'm going to come down to Houston to come see you, big bro. Don't worry, bro.
Come holler at me.
I am.
We going to go holler at them.
Oh, for no curse words. Sorry.
What is it like for you, man, to be joining that squad, a team on the up and up?
I'm extremely excited. He's a hell of a quarterback. He's a hell of a leader. As you watch those guys throughout the season last year, you kind of start building something extremely special. Him as a quarterback and him as you see him lead his team, it was something that we all kind of got excited about, something that, you know, you kind of noticed it around the league. If you were watching it, you heard about it. And that's something that I kind of took heed to. And in the offseason, the more conversations I had with him on a personal level, kind of like it's easy to fall in love with a quarterback like that.
All right, there you go. Steph Diggs.
It has to be. They're saying it. I mean, players are like, come on, let's go. Thanksgiving. You can eat the turkey butt.
Make it happen.
Let's do it.
Let's see.
I got the internet going nuts.
This was kind of long, but Bill Belichick, it was like the epitome of why this guy, you just have to sit.
Be careful when you use that word. You start fights when you start using the word epitome.
Well, no, they interpreted it wrong. Well, actually, they interpreted it right. But the epitome of just sit, just sit crisscross applesauce and listen to a legend tell a legendary story.
We've been trying to trade for Randy Moss for 2 months, like childbirth. And so after the first day of the draft, I talked to Mr. Davis. I said, are we going to make a steal or not? And he said, yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it for your fourth. And so I said, well, we got to get the guy in for a physical. We can't take his contract. We're going to have to renegotiate his contract. And Mr. Davis said, well, that's your problem. So I said, okay, hung up the phone. This is like 11:30 at night, right after the first day of the draft. I call up Randy. Said, hey, Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Boom. Hangs up the phone.
What?
Let me try this again. Randy, it's Coach Belichick. Who is this? Who's pranking me? Who is this? Bam. Hangs up the phone. Randy, it's Coach Belichick. We traded for you. What? Is this a joke? This better not be a joke. Who is this? Really? I said, yeah, but look, we got to get this done by tomorrow at noon. He goes, all right, what do I need to do? I said, you need to come up, take a physical, and we need to renegotiate your contract. It was by noon? I said, yeah. I was, well, I'm in Houston now, but I got a plane. I'll be there. And he's there at 8 o'clock in the morning, comes in and takes the physical. We're done at 10 o'clock. First thing he says to me is, where's the playbook? Right here. He said, okay, because when I walk out there with the first team with Brady, I got to know all the plays. I can't go out there and make mental errors and screw up. He was smart, man. This guy was smart. So I sat down. I watched a lot of film with him. I said, Randy, like, we never had a guy like you. I go, you know, like, this is awesome. On this post safety coverage, what are you going to do? He goes, Coach, you ain't going to see any post safety coverage against me. You're going to see cover two. He's like, you're going to see cover two. And he was right. 25 touchdowns. Randy, come on, man. Randy, I'm trying to.
We Stanford Routes actually told that story a couple times because he was actually with him.
Yeah.
They were at a club or something.
Yeah.
Because that was Raiders days.
Mm-hmm. That's and but Belichick just lights up all of a sudden. Now that he's not coach anymore.
Well, Moss got him in a Halloween costume. He showed up to Randy Moss's roller skating Halloween costume Halloween costume party. He's always kind of softened him up a little bit. I love that country mofo, Randy Moss.
Yeah.
My favorite, man.
He's so good.
I love Randy Moss.
I got the internet going nuts.
Dallas Turner, man. He was feeling pretty good about himself yesterday out of Alabama. He joined C.J. Stroud and Micah on that Bleacher Report thing that they had going, and goodness gracious, man, number 17 overall pick to the Vikings. He's gonna join former Texans Jonathan Greenard and Blake Cashman, and he's also gonna get roasted by CJ Stroud because of his drip.
What do you got to say to him, Micah?
No, CJ, what do you got to say to him? First of all, congratulations, bro. Happy for you. I think. See, he smiled because we know he'd be going at it. I think JG is gonna help you a lot, bro. I don't know if you know JG yet, but connect with Jonathan Greenard, and bro, he's gonna help you a lot, man. He helped me a ton. Helped Will get better. I know you and Will really close, man. I'm happy for you, but I gotta keep it real with you, bro. Top five worst suits I've ever seen in my life. Y'all ain't gonna lie, bro.
I mean, that's coming from a person that don't know how to dress. So
I like that. Man, CJ was loose, kind of feeling it, feeling very comfortable.
Hanging out.
Yeah, hanging out.
Chilling, breaking it down.
It was good. We got to talk about this.
I got the internet going nuts.
I don't want to talk about this because I'm embarrassed.
Okay.
For Joe Espada.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
What? I'm mad at Adam Spillane, to be honest. Oh, he's fiery, boy. He's gonna get ejected out of some games. He looked like
I tweeted the video. He literally asked the umpire to throw him out calmly, and the umpire said, "Really?" And he said, "Yes," and then he threw him out.
Yeah.
And he just walked out.
And even the announcers were,
I think,
like,
he wiped his feet at the dugout.
May I leave now?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can leave now.
If I was that umpire, I would say no. I would just say, "No, I'm not throwing you out."
It doesn't even, like,
you got to do something else,
man. It doesn't even serve its purpose.
Do something,
He's
bro.
David Coley, dude.
They're like, "Yes."
He's David Coley. It wasn't David Coley's fault that the Texans were where they are. I don't think it's Joe Espada's complete fault. I think a lot of this stuff was going to happen naturally with the roster. I've heard some people say, well, Dusty took this team. It was different. I mean, it was inevitable. They were getting older.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't blame Espada for all the problems. I do think Joe Espada, like David Coley, he latched on to situations where he was just an assistant coach, and he latched on with the Yankees, and he latched on with the Astros. And as a result of that, he gained respect. I also don't think he elevates stuff. And this, and I mean, that was embarrassing yesterday. Well, that's slimy.
It was. It is slimy. But before we do that, the whole
Did you purpose. Hear his explanation of the ejection?
Yes.
Listen to this. Yes. Listen to this explanation.
You know, did not agree with his strike zone today.
Throughout the whole game?
Yeah, I thought there were some, you know, pitches that didn't go our way, and I just didn't agree with him.
Why'd you kind of choose that moment right there?
I just got tired of watching.
The whole,
he just admitted he asked
yeah,
to leave.
I just got, he asked to leave. But the whole purpose of getting thrown out is to fire up your team, right? To spark something.
Man, that guy's
like
awful.
Like you say
he
what
stinks.
You will about
he stinks.
Aaron Boone and all these others. That, like
this guy's bad.
They still spark some sort
this guy's
of reaction.
Bad.
He didn't spark anything.
He's bad.
If anything, it was the exact opposite.
You like, want to hear his speech?
That's our man. That's our manager.
Here's how he says they got to show some fire. Listen to this delivery.
They're fighting, man. You know they want to get back to playing the type of baseball that we are capable of. But it's not happening, and it's not going to happen unless we change. Like no one is going to hand us anything. This is we have to fight
nothing.
Through this. Is there a team that could do it? It's this club. So I know they will turn these things around, but there's got to be a little bit more urgency. There's got to be more fire in, you know, in the middle of the game where we find ourselves back against the corner. We just got to fight. And if we do that, we'll be fine.
All right,
there's
good.
Nothing there.
We got to fight.
There's nothing there.
We got to fight, guys.
Yeah.
They got to be 30 games over 500 for the remainder of the season to get to that 90 that I talk about.
30
games above 500 the remainder of the season.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Still mad at Adam Spillane.
Internet going, he told us he was going to be fiery.
Well.
Lord.
Okay.
Golly, that ain't even a match. Goodness gracious. Coming up, Stephon Diggs speaks for the first time. And yeah, Joe Espada, what's going on there next?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The hits are lit here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. One of the best times of the year, one of the best football Fridays you will ever hear. Let's play the hits.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. You're listening to In the Loop with Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, Stephon Diggs has finally spoken. Here is CJ Stroud, a little back and forth with Stephon Diggs.
I think we've done a really great job. Shout out to Nick, man. Nick and D'Amico put together a great roster, and you know, it's very exciting times in Houston.
What was your first reaction when you heard Stephon Diggs was coming to the squad?
Yeah, so I mean, of course, like being the quarterback, I kind of had got word and had some conversations here and there with Nick, and you know, try to help him out as much receiver and as a person. You know, the things that I was asleep when I found out. Like I was telling the media the other day, like my boy Chase B texted me. And he was like, bro, how you feeling? So he's asking me how am I feeling because we got Steph. I didn't know that. I'm thinking like he's asking me like, how am I doing? I'm good, fam. How are you? And he didn't respond. And I had like five texts like that, like, man, congrats. I'm like, man, what happened? So then I hop on Instagram, I hop on Twitter, and I finally seen it. I was stoked, man. I hit Steph because we were talking dang near the whole week, really like 2 weeks consistently trying to figure it out, you know. So it was
What's up,
brother?
A7.
What up, Trim?
I was going to say what's up to Micah, but I don't really.
Nah, for real, though.
That's crazy. What's up, man? You know, I'm real jealous, but, you know, I'm going to come down to Houston to come see you, big bro. Don't worry, bro.
Come holler at me.
I am.
We're going to go holler at them.
Oh, for sure. No curse words. Sorry.
That's crazy. What is it like for you, man, to be joining that squad, a team on the up and up?
I'm extremely excited. He's a hell of a quarterback. He's a hell of a leader. As you watch those guys throughout the season last year, you kind of start building something extremely special. Him as a quarterback and him as you see him lead his team, it was something that we all kind of got excited about, something that, you know, you kind of noticed it around the league. If you were watching it, you heard about it. And that's something that I kind of took heed to. And in the offseason, the more conversations I had with him on a personal level, kind of like it's easy to fall in love with a quarterback like that.
It's all over, man, and that was good to finally hear from Stephon there. And he couldn't have been more effusive about Stroud. I mean, you know what he was getting.
Yeah, you always wonder if you put though, and I know this is. I'm not saying that you wouldn't praise Stroud no matter what. Probably put a little extra mustard on it, given the Josh Allen situation.
Over
the top praise.
No, I said this. Yes, but I said this earlier. Given how the Bills are acting and drafting. Stephon Diggs looks like he was the stable one. He was the smart, stable one in that whole mess.
The historic day yesterday when it comes to what went down in the NFL draft, it's actually pretty astonishing. So The first 14 picks last night were offensive players. Mm-hmm. That surpassed the previous record of 7.
Yeah.
Which was set in 2021. So they doubled that. 23 offensive players were taken in the first round. That breaks the previous record of 19. So it's an offensive league. It's definitely an offensive draft. Who knows how that looks as things go today. Texans selecting at 42. We're resuming at 33 with Buffalo. And we had three quarterbacks with the first three picks, fourth time in NFL history, 6 in the top 12. Which one of these quarterbacks do you think is the most NFL ready? If I asked you, who would you say?
I think Jaden Daniels.
Okay, you say Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, I really do. He's been kind of slept on in terms of like his pocket presence, his ability to throw from the pocket. I was really glad that they highlighted that. I don't know what you were watching. I was watching the ESPN broadcast, and they really kind of said that, and I'm sort of like saying yes. And I'm not like, you know, I'm not his agent or a fanboy. I just really liked his game this year. And I think people are like, oh, he scrambles, you know, or he's off script. Caleb Williams scrambles and is off script a lot. He does a little bit, but I think his pocket presence is going to surprise a lot of people.
He went number 2 to Washington after Caleb went number 1 to Chicago. CJ Stroud disagrees, though. He thinks the most NFL ready is the guy who went number 3 to the Patriots.
I feel like Drake May is. You watch his tape. Just his arm talent jumps off. I mean, he's one guy that, like, to me, like, the one mistake that I did early on in, like, this first couple of games was I moved around too much. Like, I didn't get the ball out on time. I started taking risks that weren't even downfield. They're necessarily scrambling. And when you watch his tape, he scrambles when he needs to. He throws guys open. He has like, right here, he has rollout ability, like, different arm angles. So
I feel like when you watch like Drake May.
All right, so there you go. So he likes Drake May. What about Michael Penix? Where does he fall into you?
That one threw me for a loop.
Top 10 pick of the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Penix. And Ian Rappaport, he planted the seed before the draft. I'm not going to lie. I just kind of dismissed this.
Yeah.
But this was what Rapp said hour-ish before Michael Penix was selected, despite $100 million guaranteed to Kirk Cousins in the next 2 seasons.
I want to focus in on number 8, the Atlanta Falcons. A lot of people around the league believe they're going to take a defensive player. I want to add one thing to the mix here. Arthur Blank, the owner, has made it clear that succession plan at quarterback is very important to him. Yes, I know they just signed Kirk Cousins. My understanding, though, they took a hard look at quarterback, specifically Michael Penix. Will they take him at 8? I don't know the answer to that, but I know it is something that they are going to consider, if only because of what owner Arthur Blank wants him to do.
Okay, well, they did it. And they broke the internet, and they broke their own damn internet.
I almost broke my damn iPad.
My jaw dropped. It's Fontenot. Fontenot told him, hey, you know, if we can get owner approval, which of course they're going to, because if you saw the video afterwards, like Arthur Blank was like saying, what the bleep, dude? Like, and he's trying to explain it, like overzealous, trying to explain it, using all the hand. You start using all those hand motions, like trying to explain yourself. It's like you're trying to get out of a ticket.
Rough, man.
It's like you're trying to get out of a ticket. Like, okay, so what had happened was this. There was a light. It was yellow, but, you know, I couldn't see because the truck in front of me was blah, blah. Like, he was trying to explain getting out of a ticket.
Goodness
like,
gracious.
It was awful.
Xavier Worthy, another interesting moment. I think most of us saw this coming from a mile away. Xavier Worthy, he went to the Chiefs. I kind of like the way he handled his draft party. He rented out a local bar in his hometown, had his people with him, looking fresh. And the great Corey Mose, who covers the Horns. Corey Mose caught up with Xavier Worthy, and here's what he had to say about joining the back-to-back Super Bowl champs.
When that phone started to ring, what were the emotions like?
To be honest, I really thought it was the Bills. Then I seen KC at the time, like, oh, shoot, they called and pick me up later on or something. But they called straight up, and shoot, it was just an amazing feeling.
You spoke this into existence. You've been saying this since the beginning of the year. How did you know, and what made the Kansas City Chiefs so attractive to you?
I mean, shoot, obviously, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is himself. Everybody want to go play for him. But, I mean, shoot, that's just like a dream, just to have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes improvise and get you the ball. Also, how much he cares for the players. So just being over there would be amazing. Super Bowl contender, 2-time back-to-back. So it's amazing just to be on a team like that.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. God. Okay. Yay, the Chiefs got Xavier
Run
Worthy.
Deep.
Yay.
Justin Verlander, He almost gave you five yesterday. Couldn't quite do it.
He was hot with his.
Oh, mind. He was pissed.
He was.
He did not hot. Want to be taken out.
He was
out.
Yelling into his glove, man.
Astros end up losing 3-1. It kind of fell apart when it was a 1-1 game. Abreu came in. Guy's trying to bunt the runner over to second. Abreu throws it about 25, 30 feet over the catcher's head. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but maybe not by much.
Yeah.
And then a little later on, gives up the jack, and the Cubs win 3-1. Stroh's now 7-19. And this is how I've decided I'm going to follow the Astros. I'm going to function under the belief that you got to win 90 games to get in the postseason. I think that's fair. That's mm-hmm. pretty much where you're at. Especially with the division, in order for the Astros to win 90 games, instead of just doing the, you know, it's they would have to go 83-53 to finish the season.
Come on,
I'm just telling you, they have to go 30 games under 500.
I know you're right.
But I think this is the best visual instead of saying, well, yes. we're this far through the season. Because the other thing about it is this:
yeah,
if you're an optimist, and I'm not knocking you for being an optimist, I'm not knocking you for being down on the Astros. You probably look at the division and say, well, they're only this many games back. I don't think too many teams in this division feel like they've played their best baseball yet either.
No, not at all.
So,
and they've been injured.
Yeah.
When you're thinking about the Rangers.
83-53.
Yeah. I'm going to follow the Astros by following the Texans. That's how I'm going to follow the Astros. 83-53, it ain't going to happen. They can't even win four games in a row, man.
And then we have this sad moment right here.
Yeah.
Not the Joe Espada thing.
It's embarrassing.
Something else. No. We'll get to the Joe Espada. Okay. He's in the slime off.
Okay. Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Here lies one of John Lopez's go-to excuses.
Where did this come from?
To get out of big events.
Where did this come from?
John Lopez missed one of the biggest parties in Texans history.
I brought it up.
Because he said he had to watch J.P. France pitch.
No, I didn't say I had to.
Well,
got a little more free time now.
I didn't say I had to.
Now, if John Lopez wants to see J.P. France, he might just be able to drive to Sugarland.
Let's go to Sugarland tonight,
he might
babe.
Be able to drive to Sugarland because the Astros
here's my Saturday night.
Are optioning right-hander J.P. France to AAA Sugarland ahead of their road trip to Mexico City. This will clear the roster spot for Framber Valdez. So there you go. Pour one out for J.P. France. Sorry about your luck, sir.
I never said any of that. I just said I had FOMO. I said I wanted to go to the uniform reveal, but I had my podcast, and then I was like, I turned on the Astros, and there was J.P. France.
I'm getting unfair to a lot of guys. Like, when your team is disappointing you as much, you tend to be a little bit obnoxious, even more obnoxious than usual. J.P. France can take his...
Mm-hmm.
Hipster glasses and all his tattoos. Go to a microbrewery or something like that. Go play some hacky sack.
He looks like he should be at a microbrewery.
Get out of here, man.
Yeah. They have...
So go on 6th Street.
They're done. They're so done. It's not even a conversation anymore.
Done with him, man.
Yeah.
Why was he still a thing? Just kidding. Do your thing, JP. I'm just kidding. I'm just taking out my frustration on you. It's not your fault. There should never be a situation where J.P. France should be in your rotation as long as he was for the Astros. I don't give a damn how many injuries you have.
Yeah.
Have fun in Sugarland, sir.
Mm-hmm. You will.
Lopez will be there.
Front row, baby.
With his Sharpie and ball cap. Coming up next, big opportunity for the Texans, and they got some polarizing possibilities when it comes to what Nick Caserio can do. Let's go through them. Let's break them down. Let's enjoy. Let's continue to kill the time on a football Friday before Nick finally makes a pick next.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.